That's an important scripture, but it's a different subject, and no doubt we will appreciate the reading of that scripture again. It's firstly the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of John and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. The 17th verse. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him. And let him go. Now, shall we turn over to the 12th chapter? And the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then sat one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. May the Lord bless to us that reading of his word. What wonderful words we read in the 12th chapter of John tonight, when we read those wonderful words they are, as that woman Mary breaks the box of ointment, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. That was the climax in her life, I feel. As we think of the few times that we see her mentioned in the scripture, I feel that that was the climax. To see her there, prostrated before the Lord, and that box of ointment broken, and the house filled with the odour of the ointment. How wonderful it is to see her there in her adoration of her Lord, and the house being affected by it. Don't you think that as we gather together on Lord's Day mornings, our house should be affected by ourselves being there and what we're willing to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you think that should be so? You know, often I feel that there are times when we gather together and we haven't anything to offer him. We're just like the disciples that we read the other night, when he says, children, have ye any meat? And they say, no. And yet here, as we read concerning this woman tonight, we read very little concerning her, and yet we read one thing about her. She was able so to give that the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Was it that she was naturally intelligent or above her fellows in intelligence? I don't think that it was at all. But I think the truth concerning her that makes this possible is that she was found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, on those three occasions that we see her mentioned in the scripture, there's only three, and I hope to refer to the one in the 10th chapter of Luke tonight. There's only those three times that she's mentioned, and there she is on each occasion found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, she's found sitting at his feet, isn't she, and hearing his word. And then with regard to her, we see her in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, and she falls at his feet. And then in the 12th, there she is even lower still, wiping his feet with her hair, anointing his feet and wiping them with her hair, lower still in adoration. And what a wonderful sequence there is there. Now let's think of her for a moment. Three times mentioned and three times found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Why is it that the scripture mentions these things that I mentioned last night seem apparently little things? Isn't it that these things have happened so that we might take them for examples for ourselves? And when we think of Mary at his feet, don't you think that that's the place that the Lord would have us to be found? That place of nearness where he can look upon us and we can look upon him. As we were thinking last evening concerning John looking upon Jesus as he walked, how much nearer we can be as we are sitting there at his feet and we can look upon him and we can hear him speak. We can look upon him, we can see those wonderful things concerning him, and he looks upon us in that nearness, doesn't he? He doesn't see us as he did with Peter, now following afar off, but he sees us in our nearness, and what a wonderful position that is to be found in. And yet also, I feel that at this time it was the place of reproach. Yes, there's reproach connected with being near and found near to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was reproach in that day because this one was not loved among the people. He was loved in Bethany, but not loved among his people to whom he had come. It was the place of reproach, that place of nearness. And it's the place of reproach today. And yet what a wonderful place it turned out for her to be. But as we see her there on those three occasions, we see only once does she mention any words at all. And on that occasion, it is not to mention herself. And as we think of those few words, she begins those words by saying, Lord. Now, our words very often are not as important as our actions, and in these three instances, certainly her actions were more important than her words, because her words are not mentioned only when she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They were the only words mentioned. Now, as we think of the reference in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you'll remember that Martha had graciously invited the Lord Jesus Christ into her home. It was a wonderful invitation to him. I don't know whether he'd been there before, but in coming into that home, he was going to make that home a different home from what it had been, and also he was going to find in that home the rest that he had desired in his pathway here. He resorts, does he not, at the end of his pathway in that home of Bethany. There he stays. He'd learned to love those people that were there, and he'd learned to know that when he was in that house, he could rest. But I wonder whether on this first occasion in the 10th chapter of Luke that he rested just at the beginning. Martha had invited him into her house, and I would say graciously, and Mary, her sister, had happily agreed. But how different are these two characters as the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the house? Here is Martha, she invites into the house, and it appears straightway she prepares the meal. It must be that as this worthy guest is found in the house, it must be that there's something prepared for him that is worthily prepared. And she was cumbered with much serving. The scripture tells us she was cumbered with much serving. Often we wonder about those words, but I feel it would be like this. With regard to Mary, we see that Mary left her alone to serve. Mary, no doubt, as the Lord Jesus Christ had entered the house, went and began to prepare that meal with Martha. But when she saw the lavish way in which this meal was going to be laid on, she left her sister, left her to this lavish preparation of this meal. See, Martha invites into the house and leaves for service, leaves the Lord for service, and her sister goes and sits at his feet and hears his word. Isn't it a warning for each one of us that are here tonight to get things in their right perspective with regard to our life as believers? Isn't it that when we see this little incident that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would show that there should be a balance with regard to service and with regard to sitting at his feet and hearing his word? Here was one who willingly and readily would go out and do service to the Lord, but she wouldn't sit at his feet and hear his word at this time. She hadn't a right balance of these things. Whereas with regard to Mary, her sister, having seen that which was going to be prepared, feels that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to the home, and in that home what he'd come for was to break the bread of life. It was that as he was there, it was for him to speak to them as they were gathered. And Mary, seeing this and realizing her need of this word that he would give, she sits at his feet and she hears his word. And what a wonderful privilege she has there. She sits at his feet. She sits at his feet in communion, and as we see her sitting there, she felt the need of being there. Now, I remember when I was quite young, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I neglected this book. And also, in buying expositions of the scripture, I neglected those as well. But don't you think that the Lord Jesus Christ today speaks to us through his word, And then we can be refreshed by that which others have drawn from him, so that if we'll only sit and if we'll only spare that time to listen to his voice, we shall hear his voice today through his word. She sat at his feet and she heard his word. And I wonder what he said to her as he spoke to her. Now, we must not surmise at all, but she sat at his feet and heard his word. And as she sat at his feet and heard his word, how intelligent she became. When you think of her intelligence, I would gather that during the time of the gospel, that she had more intelligence than any of the disciples, any of the apostles, at that time, I'll say at that time, while the Lord Jesus Christ was alive. There it was because of the very fact that she was willing to give her time to sit at his feet and hear his word. But as I look at Mary, as I look at Martha, how much we can be like Martha. As she thinks of her sister sitting there, and sitting, she thinks, in idleness by the Lord Jesus Christ there, how wroth she becomes. And no doubt, time and time again, she looks through, and yet her sister moves not in her direction to help her in that service. And she feels what a waste of time it is for this person to sit before the Lord while there's so much to do. And she chides with the Lord. I want you to think for a moment of how she speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and how she speaks to him. Speaking to him in such a way in public that it's sad to think that a woman would be ready and willing to chide with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he says, Martha, 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 thou art cumbered about much serving. Thou art cumbered about much serving. But Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her. Is it the better part? The scripture doesn't say that it's the better part. And I would feel that what follows in the 12th chapter would show that service has its place, but to be found at the feet of Jesus is the good part, the good part. We see that Mary uttered not one word on this occasion, but we see that with regard to Martha, as she heard those words, she readily took them to herself and she readily learned that lesson. I wonder whether we so readily learn that lesson. It can quite easily be today, in this day of rush and hurry, that we are connected with service and yet we find little time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place that we must sit. If it be that in any way we are to work for him down here, we are to be found sitting at his feet. As we think of him speaking to his disciples, he called them unto him and then he sent them forth. And as we think of Mary and how intelligent she became afterwards, why was it? Because she was willing to sit there and hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to sit at his feet and to hear his words. What happened in that following year, I wouldn't like to say. But I would gather that during that year, with regard to Mary, her love grew for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was not that she could easily forget the words that she had heard. No doubt there were the many occasions when Jesus resorted to that home. And as he resorted to that home, what a tie there was between them now. Don't you think that that home at Bethany now is a little picture to us of the assembly where the Lord Jesus Christ is loved and where his name is owned and where he can rest? I think it is a picture of the assembly. And as I see later, as we've read tonight in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, that Lazarus is sick, there was the care of those two sisters, the sisters of Lazarus. And in the assembly, there is that care the one for another. Or if there isn't, there definitely should be, don't you think? As we see them there, as we see the three, they're a family, they're linked together, and when they think of their brother in their sickness, they have a care for him. Yes, and don't you think that we ought to have a care for the sick brother? We ought to have a care for the sick brother who is sick spiritually. Yes, I feel that we ought to have a care for him. We ought to have a care for the sick brother naturally, but spiritually, don't you think that it is? So often we leave him and have little thought concerning the sick brother. Not so with regard to these sisters. Because when they think of their brother in his sickness, and he must have been seriously ill, they say, well, what can we do? There's only one thing that we can do. We can tell the master, he whom thou lovest is sick. That was the message then that would go forth and would be taken 50 miles to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And did they think it important that he should be told? They take actually a round journey of 100 miles and they realize how important it is that the master should be told. Haven't we often heard those words in the prayer meeting when one has been spoken of to the Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick? And don't you think that quite as clearly the master has heard when those words have been spoken in his ear? He's heard the words, he whom thou lovest is sick. And he heard those words on this occasion. Has it been that afterwards we have been puzzled by things that have happened with regard to the one that's sick? Now let us look at the scripture here tonight and let us see what happens even in this story. They take that long journey and Jesus is well aware of the journey that they take. It's not a journey of 100 miles as we would take a journey of 100 miles today. How easily it is taken, isn't it? And 100 miles, you can go in 100 miles. I've been 100 miles in 80 minutes on the railway. But think of 100 miles at this time of the time, the tedious journey it was, and yet it was so important that Lazarus should be borne up to the Lord that they say, we'll go, and they go, and the message is, he whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord knew that there was no denying that this man was desperately ill. And there, as the love again comes before our minds, as it did the other night, there was the love in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ for this one that was sick. And yet, having heard this message that he's sick, he stays 2 days in the same place. You'd say, well, why ever was this that he should stay on this occasion? We mentioned somewhat the other night concerning his love. And it was great love. We mentioned concerning God's will and how he desired to do God's will above anything, and how the strongest cord that would draw him was the will of God his Father, and never would he move because of love alone. So on this occasion we see him stay just where he is. But when I read those words, it explains to me why he does stay. Now Mary loved... Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And that word, I think I mentioned the other evening, that word now is changed. It's not the word that Martha and Mary used as they sent to the Lord Jesus, but it's a stronger word meaning that he would do for Martha and Mary that which was best for them. Now don't you think that today when we pray, and so often when we dictate to the Lord what we really want him to do, don't you think it would be best if we leave it to that sort of love? That sort of love is a wonderful love, and in leaving every case of prayer in his hands, he'll do what is best for us. If we're only willing and ready to lay out in his presence that which we have need, if it's sickness, if it's any problem that we have, and leave it to him. That great word is used by him again, and he knows, and he will act according to that greater love than they could think of. And so he stays still in that place those 2 days. And then he takes that tedious 50 miles journey, and how long and how tedious many of those journeys were for the Lord Jesus. But now I feel that he's going that way for the last time. Yes, he's going back and toward Jerusalem for the last time. And how in his mind must have been the thought of him going up to Jerusalem and what would happen there. How sad he must have been to think that he would be lifted up. And how in other scriptures we would find mentioned that he speaks to his disciples as he goes back. But he goes, and as he draws nigh toward Bethany, it is that Mary hears that he's there. Martha hears that he's there. And as Martha comes out, and as she sees the Lord Jesus Christ, still again I say, she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Yes, and there she stands. And there she must have felt in her heart at that moment, why ever didn't he come before? Why ever was it that he left? The message was given, the previous journey was taken, and yet he waited there. I can't understand why he's done this. And often we can't understand why he does these things. Because his way is in the sanctuary, but his way is also in the sea. His ways are past finding out. He does everything according to the counsel of his will, and his way is best. And his way was best at this time. Yes, but Martha goes back because Mary was sitting still in the house. How different. How different to think that these two, who are the pictures of two kinds of believers, should be so different. Here is Martha rushing out with her thoughts and so much to say to the Lord Jesus. And here is Mary, that one that has sat at his feet and heard his word. She's sitting still in the house. I wonder what happens when believers have troubles come into their life. Isn't it shown what their occupation has been before? Martha had been so busy, hadn't she? And she had not heard the word. But Mary had sat at his feet and heard his word, and she was the one that still was sitting. She was sitting still in the house, awaiting that time when Martha comes. And what does Martha say when she comes into the house? The teacher has come and calleth for thee. You know, I think that explains actually what Martha was like. As she comes and as she speaks to her sister Mary, she says, the teacher has come and calleth for thee. You know, Mary Magdalene, in all her ignorance, although she had so great a love, she owned him as Lord, and yet it was here that Martha, who had had him in her house so often, she called him the teacher. Hadn't she got any farther than that? Was he teacher? Yes, ye call me master, rabbi, teacher, and Lord, but she called him teacher. Hadn't she got farther than that? But Mary, the one that sits there still in the house, she comes out. And as she comes out, and as she sees the Lord Jesus Christ, she doesn't only just look at him, but when she saw him, when she, as the word was mentioned the other night concerning John the Baptist stationing himself and looking upon Jesus, as she looked into that face, she knew what was in his heart toward her just at that moment. The love was still there. And for some reason or other, not a reason of lack of love, but for some reason or other, the love for her was still there in his being. And when she saw him, she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet. How different from Martha. How different to see this woman. Now she says the same words as Martha, but how different is her action in now she's prostrated there at his feet and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, what does that word mean actually? She's giving him the place of supreme authority. She's speaking a word that means despotes, a Greek word, despotes, that is the word that says, you have supreme authority over me. And as she says that word, she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but as you have supreme authority over my life, I bow to your will. I bow to your will. In this we see not now communion, but we see submission to his will. How often there are things that come in our lives and we hadn't expected that these things would come, and because they come into our lives we are embittered because of them, and we feel that we should not be treated in such a way. Isn't it that so often we've prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning things, we've apparently had no answer, and because of that we've been embittered? Why don't we ask him about these things? But if we ask him concerning these things, let us ask him as Mary did, in submission upon our face before him. And surely as she saw his face and as she heard his voice, surely we too will hear his voice, and his voice will comfort us, because he will show that reason why these things have happened in our life. Lazarus was raised as we think of this wonderful story. I will not go into it tonight, but what joy flooded their hearts when Lazarus again was found in the family. What a wonderful joy it must have been. Now loosed and let go, and now very often, I like to picture that man very often standing by his gate as people go by. And here's a man that has life, and they see him. He's there, a wonderful man, because the Lord's given him life. He's loosed and let go, and there they see the picture of life. There he stands. And there, as he brought joy into their lives, now they make him a supper. They make him a supper. You know, I like those words, and I feel that if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a supper among his people, it must be that they make him a supper. They make him a supper. Now, when I think of that word unity, how little unity there may be among believers today. There's little unity in the world, is there? As we think of this poor old world just at this time, there's no unity among men, is there? And yet, sad to say that so often in the church today, there's little unity. Here, in this picture of the church, in this picture of this home that speaks to me of the church, the assembly, we see unity among them, and they make him a supper. As we gather together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, it's that we can make him a supper. How are we going to make that supper? By the unity amongst us. It's not going to be if there's this disunity. If it be that there's disunity amongst us, how can it be that he gather with us and have those praises from us and have that cohesion of love showing through what we do and what we say in his presence? They make him a supper, and that is important. What does it mean that they make him a supper? It means to me that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were one in what they were doing here. And therefore I firstly see a Martha, and as I see Martha there, I see Martha serving. Martha serving, yes, I see Martha serving in such a different capacity from what she was in the 11th chapter. Here it might have been as this feast was made in the house of Simon the leper, in the place of rejection, in the place of shame, as I see this supper is made there, Martha might have said, but how do you think it's possible that I'm going to serve? You think for a moment that as Mary had treated me the last time when we gathered together in my own home, do you think I'm going to serve after this? When you think of how I was left and everything was left to me, I'm not going to do it. No, Mary had listened to the word of the Lord, and so often when we hear the word of correction, we do not listen. We so often think of Mary, Martha, as the woman who was one that was cumbered about much serving, but she was the woman that learned a lesson. She was the woman that readily learned a lesson. And if only we, when we are due for correction before the Lord, if only we will take those lessons as clearly and as readily from him, how much more willing and fitting for service for him we will be. Martha served. And nothing said concerning being cumbered with much serving. There it is that Martha's serving, and what a wonderful position she has, because service is that which is suitable to the Lord after all, in its right place, and she's serving in this house. Lazarus was one of those that sat at the table with him. You know, I think the Lord Jesus appreciates Lazarus's on Lord's Day morning. I've often heard with regard to brothers that come together and do not open their mouths on Lord's Day mornings that they're told that we've got too many sisters in the meeting. Well, I would realise, as I turn to a word like this, and as I see what happened with regard to Lazarus, that the Lord delights to see all his own remembering him in his death. He delights when they make him a supper, and when there's brothers and sisters there gathered together, if they're willing to be just as Lazarus. Lazarus was one of them that sat at meat with him. What had Lazarus said? You look into the Bible and look through the whole of the Gospels, you'll find no word that Lazarus said. But the Lord delighted in the fact that he was willing and ready to give his time to him. There he sat. And there he sat in that life that the Lord had given him. And there he was willing and ready to sit and give his time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we ready to do that? Are we willing to give him our time? As they sat there, and no doubt there were many others that were sitting here, Mary was there as well. I want you to think of Mary at this time, because Mary by this time had more intelligence than the disciples had. When I think of Mary just at this time, and in this position that she's found, she must have looked around that supper chamber. And as she looked from one to another, she realized something that they didn't realize. She looked upon the blessed face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one that she'd looked up to as she sat at his feet and heard his words, and she knew. She knew as she looked into that face that soon he was going to lay in death. And it appeared that those around about, the many that had come to that feast, knew nothing concerning this. Did they know? There were those that were here at this time that ought to have known, because among them there were the disciples, and they ought to have known. Haven't we read the words in the 9th chapter of Mark and the 10th chapter of Mark, when going up to Jerusalem, he says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." He speaks to them on those two occasions concerning his death, and yet they were here, and they were at this feast, and they little thought concerning the death that was before him. "Be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And as they sat here the one with another, it appears that nobody knows what's going to happen, only this person that sat at his feet and heard his words. And it is true that nobody knew, only the person, Mary of Bethany, was the only one that knew concerning this fact that he was going into death. How do I know that? We thought that it would have been he that should have redeemed Israel. There were those that had their thoughts. The disciples had their thoughts concerning him. And yet this one, and this one alone, knew, and also she cared. She cared, and at this moment when she looks around, and when she sees those around that ought to have known, and she realized that there is not that thought, and not that care concerning this person that was going into death, she was going to show that she cared. She was going to show that she knew, and she goes out into the night and returns with that alabaster box of ointment. I wonder if you've realized that it was about a year since you'd had that first connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about a year previous when she'd spoken to him and when she'd sat at his feet and heard his word. And if she had saved a man's wages during that year, from the time that she'd sat there to this time, she would have been able to buy that alabaster box of ointment. And against the day of his burying had she kept this. Therefore, from that time forward to this time, she'd been occupied not only in her thought concerning him, but occupied with her love in such a way that now she was able to lavish on him something that was very costly, an alabaster box of ointment, very costly. What will she do with it? We see, I think it's in Matthew and Mark, that she pours it on his head. She pours it on his head, but here she breaks the box of ointment and she pours it on his feet. Here it is that she acts in a personal way, and as she pours it there upon his feet, the house is filled with the odour of the ointment, but that's not enough. She pours it on his feet. She gives what she has been able to acquire, and then she gives what she is. She prostrates herself at his feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair. There she is at his feet in adoration, and what a wonderful picture this is. How is it possible that this woman should be found in this condition? It is alone because firstly she sat at his feet, she heard his word, and then because of the fact that she was willing to submit her will, to be a submissive to him, and now because of firstly learning of him, having that communion with him, and then being submissive to his will, then it is she's able to offer that which is very costly. Who says that it's very costly? The Spirit of God says that it's very costly, and he alone appreciates that which she's able to give. But as we think of men today, and as we think of their values and that which they would desire, isn't it that men, and I feel that we get tarnished with it in the church, isn't it that men today grasp for greatness and grasp for those high positions? As we think of greatness and high positions, what is it that the Lord would desire of us? Don't you think that he would desire of us spikenard, as he desired of this woman, as she breaks this box, and as the house is filled, and as his feet give that odour forth? Don't you think that he would desire this of his own? And how is it to be found among ourselves as people of God? It's to be found alone, by not being cumbered with much serving, by allowing service to be in its right perspective, and then to sit at his feet, to give time to him, to sit at his feet and hear his word, to be submissive to his will, and then as we gather, we shall be able to offer him our spikenard.